Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Once again, good morning. We are glad that you are here with us as we have assembled to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we pray that everything that we do here this morning is pleasing unto God. Tonight, I want to invite you back since we are still doing our Live at 5 series. We will be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I think arguably a very fitting final Sunday night sermon for the year, how there is truly a time for everything. So I hope you'll join us tonight live at 5. We will do that. I want to go ahead and invite you back next week, Lord willing. It will be a new year. It will be 2021, and the first Sunday is January the 3rd. And I have been planning something for January the 3rd, well, just because that's the first Sunday of the new year, for probably about 3 months now. We're going to start a new series on Sunday. I don't want to tell you too much. I just want to whet your appetite. Make sure that you're here. This, I believe, well, it's going to be based in God's Word, so it'll be good. But it has a good tie-in, and I think that we will enjoy much from that. So I hope that you're here for that next week as well. This morning, I want us to look at arguably one of the greatest passages that Jesus Christ spoke in the entirety of his life here on this earth, some three and a half years. And really, it's the last thing that he says right before he ascends back to the Father. We call it the Great Commission. There are two commissions that Jesus Christ gives. The first one we call the limited commission there in Matthew chapter 10, where he calls the 12 disciples and he sends them out. And there's actually a total of 70 followers he sends out in sets of twos. But the limited commission, go into this town, go into that town. Only take what you need. Don't take extra things. If they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and move onward. And that's the limited, because it was just right then and there. But then at the end of his life here, before he ascends back into heaven, he gives the Great Commission. Friends, it is great because the commissioner himself is great. Go with me to 1 Timothy, if you will, for just a second. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. It is great because the one that commissioned it is great. Notice what Paul calls Christ, who in his times he shall show. He is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is higher than all the kings. He is higher than all the lords. He is head honcho number one. So we could call it the Great Commission because the one that gave it is great. We could also call it the Great Commission because of the enormity of the task, or the task at hand is great, that of taking the gospel into all the world. Friends, we could call it great because of its universality and the fact that it's not just one area. But Jesus says, go into all the world. And we could call it great because its theme is salvation. So it is the Great Commission. And I want you to note, and this will be crucial to our lesson this morning, God has no other plan to bring the good news to the world except for the Great Commission. He didn't have Great Commission Part 1 and then later Great Commission Part 2. This is God's only plan. And we see the Great Commission is God's plan for church growth. I want us to read the Great Commission. You say, wait, Brother Jess, we just read Matthew. You're right. But Matthew records it, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's read all four. We've already read Matthew. Go with me to Mark 16, 15, 16. Then we'll get into our points here. But I want us to be very familiar with what Christ says. And he says the same thing, but as is true with most gospel accounts, each writer records it a little differently. So Mark 16, 15, and 16, Jesus Christ said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, or they shall be condemned. Well, let's go over to Luke's passage, Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. Luke 24, 46 and 47. He had just opened their understanding that they may understand the scriptures, verse 45. And then he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, we know that happened at Jerusalem, that being a reference to the day of Pentecost. And now finally, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we'll be reading verses 21 through 23. John 20, 21 through 23. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. And he says, if you convert someone, then their sins are forgiven. But if they don't convert, then they will hold on to their sins. This morning, now that we've read all of our passages, I want us to look at the Great Commission and how it truly is God's plan for church growth. And I plan this lesson to come here because I think this is a great way to end the year and to give us something to look forward to in 2021. A handful of points this morning. The first one, you know, there are churches that seem to be growing, but they're really not. We need to note that there are some churches that, boy, they look like they're growing. The auditorium and some places of worship this morning, they're full. Even some congregations of the Lord's church, they may be full because Amazon has built a new facility near them and has got all these workers, or GM or a car place, and is bringing these Christians in, but the new birth isn't taking place. The building may be full, but the church technically isn't growing. Other places, they're preaching a perverted gospel, and they're preaching it, and people are obeying it, or they think they are, and people are being immersed, but they're not being immersed into the church, so that church isn't growing. It may be that a church has become so popular, so liberal enough, that they've let go of what God has commanded, and they'll preach whatever, whenever, to whomever, to get them in, to get them to give some more money. A lot of people are being quote-unquote helped with that, but they're not being born into the church. They're not obeying the gospel. There are many churches, and they'll take a strong defense against false doctrine. And they'll give their money to good causes, but they're not preaching the Great Commission. And so they're not growing. Friends, it's just like an earthly family. For an earthly family to grow, you've got to have what? New births. You have to have new additions to the family. So then that begs the question. You keep saying new birth. What are we talking about? If you're with me in John chapter 3, John 20, go to John chapter 3. That great passage with Nicodemus. We see that some churches, they're not teaching the right thing. And really, I could spend the rest of this year, literally, speaking about what they're not teaching. But instead, let's focus on what God has said. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Nicodemus, who is a ruler of the Pharisees, come to Jesus by night. And he says, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these things that you're doing except that God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is a smart man, and he sits there and he ponders it, and he says, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, Nicodemus is thinking earthly. He's thinking on the physical side, and he can't figure out how that process would occur. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, then he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the new birth that we're talking about. We're talking about obedience with water and the Spirit. He's talking about becoming a Christian. He's talking about baptism. And I want us to note before we move on to our next point in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 that this new birth cannot take place apart from the Word of God. We have to be teaching the truth, and God has to be involved in this. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, friends, there are some churches that are dying because they're not teaching the truth. We need to be, well, we are here because I base everything out of God's Word. I know Brother Billy does too. We need to be teaching from God's Word. And we need to be teaching that in order to be saved, you must be born again. And that includes water and the Spirit. And it only happens by being obedient to God's Word. There are many churches who aren't doing that. The second thing I want us to look at, friends, the Word of God, watch this, cannot be effective unless it makes contact with those who need the new birth. It can't be effective unless they receive it. You know it as well as I do that if I take a Bible and if I close it there and if I leave it there and let's say we come back on Sunday morning and my Bible is still sitting there, it has done me absolutely no good. Why? I haven't come in contact with it all week and it's sat there on the corner of the pulpit and the lights went out and a week passed. Friends, we have to get people in contact with the Word. You know Romans 10:17 probably as well as I do. So then faith does what? Faith comes by hearing. Paul, how, what do we hear? Hearing by the Word of God. So Paul makes the analogy in that passage that you need to hear the Word of God. And if you start hearing it, if you start reading the Word of God, then you get faith. Now, faith alone, we know James 2:17 will not save us. But you've got to have faith. That's the starting place. You've got to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You've got to hear the Word of God. But go with me to Acts chapter 15. If you will, Acts 15 and verse 17. People got to come in contact with God and His Word. Acts 15 and verse 7. To set the scene, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Gentile, is the first Gentile convert, he and his household. Peter is there. Peter is the one that teaches to him. Peter is called into question over these events in Acts chapter 11 because the Jews had a hard time believing that the Gentiles were to receive the gospel. Well, then in Acts 15, we have the Jerusalem Council, as it's often been called, where you have Peter, you have all of these, you have James, you have these very intelligent, these people who were leaders in the first century church, and they're discussing the matter. And notice what is said. Peter, after there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that how a good while ago God made choice among us, watch this, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, we have Peter's sermon recorded that the Jews believed, but Acts 10, Peter preaches to Cornelius' household, but what? Notice how he phrases this. I like how he says it. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of God and believe. Go back. What did Paul say in Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Paul preached to those at Cornelius' household and they heard and then they believed and they acted upon that. But let's also see James chapter 1 for just a moment. James 1, verse 17, 18, and 21. James 1, beginning in verse 17. James says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Friends, if we want to truly follow the Great Commission, if we truly want to be obedient to thus saith the Lord, we need to get to people and we need to tell them the gospel. Now, this has been a crazy year, but we've reached a lot of people with the gospel. We're doing it right now through Facebook and through other means, and I'm glad we have that. We need to keep going. Friends, the Word of God will have no effect And there will be no new birth into the family if you don't preach the word. We've got to keep preaching the word. Our next point, this would be number three, something we need to realize about the Great Commission. Friends, the duty of preaching the word of God, it's given to all people in the church. Now, I'm not saying all people in the church are to stand in the pulpit. We don't need to usurp authority. But notice, the commission was first given to the apostles. That's who he's talking with there at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then he ascends into heaven. It's given first to the apostles, and he commanded them to teach all things that I have told you. So it starts with Jesus teaching the apostles. The apostles are to teach others. Well, that's what Stephen did. That's what Philip did. Go with me to Acts chapter 8 very quickly. Acts 8 verses 3 and 4. Saul of Tarsus has not obeyed the gospel yet. That comes in chapter 9. Here he's still working against God. A great persecution arises upon the church at Jerusalem. The apostles will stay at Jerusalem and everybody else leaves. Stephen has just been killed at the end of the 7th chapter. Notice verses 3 and 4 though. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and he was hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that scattered abroad went and hid. Is that what it says? No. Watch verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, the Christians that were in Jerusalem, they went everywhere preaching the word of God. These are people who are still infants in the faith. They're still what we would call in the new converts class. But where they're at in Jerusalem, they can't stay there because if they stay there, they'll be thrown into prison or worse, they will die. Now, really, it's not worse. Give up your life for Christ. It's a good thing. But they also had other things that they could do, other ways to be effective. And so they dispersed, but instead of going and hiding, which might have been what some people today would think about doing, instead they go everywhere. And as they're leaving Jerusalem and they'd stop in this little town, they'd meet people, and what they do, they would tell about the gospel, and other people would go here, and that's one of the ways that the gospel spread. Elsewhere in the book of Acts, it says that they were so effective in spreading the word of God in Acts chapter 17 that they turned the world upside down. Why? Because everybody they met, they told the gospel. Go with me to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Or I've seen this put out by preachers, 2 Tim 2:2. It's a good way to remember it. Notice this charge that Paul gives to Timothy, which is an applicable charge for us today. Paul knows that when he finishes this letter, his life is about to be over here on this earth. He will be taken out of prison, beheaded by Nero. So he's writing to his son in the faith, some final words of encouragement, a love letter to his son in the faith. And notice he says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be also to teach, who will be able to teach others also." In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, the things that I have told you should not die with you. He says, I have told you some very important things. You need to tell them to other faithful men, and then tell those other faithful men, you need to tell these to other faithful men, and you need to tell, and you need to tell. See, the Great Commission's really given to all of us. It started with the apostles, and they told other faithful men, who told other faithful men, who 2,000 years later told it to somebody who then told it to you, and it's our job to tell it to somebody else. Friends, the gospel should not die with us. The gospel is the greatest piece of, literally means the good news. The good news shouldn't end with us. We should want to tell everybody. We must spread the word. Our final point, we need to figure out what is preaching the gospel. What does this entail? Since it's something that we all should do, what does it entail? Well, if you look it up in maybe a Bible dictionary, it means to be a herald, to officiate as a herald. I think of heralds immediately when you graduate from college. They've got people. They get paid to do it, but they're really nice people. And their job is a herald, and they know the routine, and they stand here, and they say, okay, you come here, you stand, they call your name, you go on. They're kind of directing you in a way, if you will. We need to be a herald of the gospel. We need to be that person that is guiding somebody else. It also means to publish or proclaim openly.
something that has been done. See, the gospel shouldn't be a secret. Now, I know this past week a lot of people were thinking about Jesus Christ. I'm glad they were. I wish they'd focus on him more than once or twice a year. But it's a great time. They're thinking about him. Why not finish the story with them? It started in a manger, but boy, it kept going from there. Friends, we need to preach. We need to tell others. It's spreading the good news. Think about this. Anyone can do this. I mean, anyone can do it. Let's say your favorite store in the mall in Murfreesboro, Best Buy, JCPenney's, I don't have been to the mall in forever, whatever your favorite store is, and they were having a half-off sale. Everything in the store was half-off. Well, wouldn't you tell somebody else that you know also like JCPenney's or also bought their electronics at Best Buy? You would, wouldn't you? Why? It's good news. Or think about this. What if you went to Walmart and they were having a 2-for-1 sale? Whatever you bought. Maybe you needed some new gun shells. Maybe you needed a new tablet. Maybe you just needed groceries. And they were doing a 2-for-1 sale. Wouldn't you tell someone? Of course you would. Why? That's great news. What about this? What if Middle Tennessee Electric decided all of a sudden they're going to triple your rates? Well, wouldn't you want to tell somebody else? Well, hey, there's something wrong, but we need to go to the board. We need to complain. If you were having a garage sale, wouldn't you effectively tell everybody that you know, post it on Facebook, hey, we're having a yard sale Saturday from 8 until it's sold. Why don't you come out? There's great deals, stuff you need. I think about this past week, we saw what? The Star of Bethlehem, so they say. I was amazed at how many people were telling me that I need to go look at this star. What if we spread the gospel the same way? What if we literally, everybody we saw, you need to hear about Jesus. How do you do it? How would we spread the word? Well, I think about phones. You've got a phone probably on your person right now. You've got one in your house, maybe in your shop. You can call somebody and say, hey, can we talk about Jesus? Can I tell you some good news? The mail is still running 6 days a week. You can write somebody a letter. Maybe if you're not good talking phone, you can write it out, put a stamp on it, and they get it in about 3 days. Or better yet, you send somebody an email or a message on Facebook and they get it instantly. Fax, if you've got a fax machine, there are many ways that we can do it. Post it on a bulletin board, a community interest board. You can pass out flyers. We can put signs on every street corner. We could put ads in the paper. Sometimes the easiest way is just a simple knock on the door of your neighbor, of a person you care about. What about this? Could you maybe teach a simple Bible lesson? You say, wait, Brother Justin, I don't think I could teach in a class. I didn't say in a class. You could teach a Bible lesson one-on-one, or maybe you and your spouse go visit somebody and say, hey, by the way, let me tell you about my best friend. His name's Jesus Christ, and he died for me, but he died for you. You don't even have to be able to quote Scripture. You can tell the story. Can you tell somebody, hey, why don't you come to worship with us on Sunday? We're there for about an hour. Brother Justin sometimes has a good sermon. We get to enjoy fellowship one with another. What, can you come? Hey, we're online. Why don't you do this? Tracts. Hand them an invitation. What about this? Could you subscribe them to Seek the Old Paths or the Carolina Messenger, House to House, Heart to Heart, some of these great free publications? Literally cost nothing but puts the gospel in people's mailbox every month. Maybe help grade some correspondence. What if you would either support a mission trip or when the world stops being crazy, go on a mission trip? Friends, there are so many ways we can spread the gospel. I have 4 passages of Scripture that sum up this sermon, and you've already heard them, but we're going to go through them again. Would you turn with me to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and let's just focus on Christ's words, and then we'll offer the invitation. Because the point of this sermon is to remind us of things that we know about. The fact that we need to tell the gospel to everyone. Jesus Christ says unto them, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, literally make disciples or make Christians of all nations, baptizing them in or into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Then Matthew adds, amen. Go and teach. Mark 16,
15 and 16 once again. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Jesus Christ said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not will be damned or condemned. Do you realize that every creature includes the people that get on your everlasting nerve? Because they need the gospel as much as I do, or as much as you do. Preach the gospel to our enemies. Preach the gospel to those that we care about and everyone in between. Luke 24, 46 and 47. Once again, Jesus Christ is speaking unto them. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And finally, John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. John 20, 21 through 23. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they're retained. Friends, what better way to end 2020 and look ahead to beginning 2021 than by telling someone in your life about the soul-saving message of salvation? Because they need to hear it just as much as you do, or you did. Jesus said, go ye. There's a book written years ago called Go Ye Means Go Me. And whether you read the book, you just read the title, you've gotten the gist of it. Because Christ is telling me, Christ is telling you, we need to go out and we need to preach the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You'd be surprised at what a simple question. Hey, can we talk about the Bible? Hey, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know about the time that Jesus cast a demon into the swine? Just ask a simple question. You'd be amazed at sometimes the response you get. People say, no, I don't know that. Or, boy, I love that story. Let's read it together. This is something that we all must do. And I hope it has encouraged you to invite someone to church to tell them about the gospel. But while we're doing this, we've been talking about the gospel. And it all starts with hearing. But then you believe what you've heard. You repent. That's turning away from sin, turning to God. Repent of your sin. You make that public confession. I believe Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. And upon that confession, you're baptized. When that water and grave come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this morning, we would love to assist you in that. We would love to immerse you. And then you would have a new birth. You would be a child of God. And you leave this building in a saved relationship. If you've not done that, why not do so? Maybe you have. Keep going, remaining faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, working for that crown of life. But if you've not been faithful, you need to come back, repent of those sins, and leave in a right relationship with our Lord. If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.